Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911 unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4 black bag. GTA in progress 401 parking structure section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Brown.
484 suspect is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high freight 401 is a route.
Well, hello and welcome to the WPOI Radio, the Private Officer Beat Radio Show. And we are glad that you have joined us. Wow, we've got a countdown going on. I'm sure probably you've got one going on as well. We are looking at the clock ticking away, tick, 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 tock, as we're closing in on that very special day of the year, Christmas. And I'll tell you, we have been running ourselves ragged, as many of you I'm sure have, as we try to get those gifts wrapped and under the tree in time for good old Saint Nick. And we have had a splendid time doing it. It has been quite busy from all accounts. From what I'm seeing, a lot of retail traffic just about every place that I've been throughout the country in the last month. Looks like retail numbers are up. Shopping was good. And hopefully you've had a chance to go out and take care of all of that Santa Claus business and that you'll be ready in time for your family and the special Christmas holiday. Just, it's about 36 hours away, I guess. It's just amazing how time has gone by this year. But, we had a lot of great events happening, and we have a lot of great events coming up in 2013. So we're excited about that, and I'll be telling you more about that here shortly. But I wanted to talk with you today on this last official radio show of 2012. Now, there will be one more broadcast later next week. We'll be talking about the 2013 calendar and what's coming up, the special events, the projects. Oh, Lord, we've got a lot of stuff planned, and it's very, very exciting. But today is the actual last radio program of 2012, and we're going to bring you some great information, some news, and a little bit of training on a very important topic. And we've got a couple of special announcements as well before we close out this year. So, again, welcome. Thanks for joining us wherever you might be. Thanks to my friend and partner, Brett Davis, in the booth, my controller over here. I'm usually the controller, but he's controlling the board and taking care of all the back of the scene, way back, all the stuff that has to happen to make this radio show a great show. So thanks, Brett, and thanks for you who are listening wherever you might be. And let me be the first one probably today or maybe this hour, this minute, to say Merry Christmas to you. And we really hope that you have a happy, safe holiday. Unfortunately, when you're in the private security business, public safety, law enforcement, EMS, you just don't get many holidays off. Birthdays, you work. Anniversaries, you work. Thanksgiving, you probably got to work that too. Easter, oh yeah, got to be on duty. Christmas, more than likely, most of you are working. New Year's, yep, got to work New Year's Eve. That's a big night. And unfortunately, many public safety officers and emergency responders just don't get that family time that the average office worker or government worker or, you know, day shift worker usually gets. And I just read yesterday afternoon that the president, President O, signed a federal regulation, rule, law, whatever it was, that allowed all federal employees, all non-essential federal employees, to be off on Monday, because Monday was not technically a holiday for the federal government, like they need any more. I mean, they get about 18 federal holidays. My gosh, I've got a couple of friends who work up in D.C. They work for a number of federal agencies, and every time I turn around, they're off. They got a day off. I'm telling you, they got it made. But the president did sign, an act or whatever, so that everyone who is non-essential, in other words, if your job's not needed, you're going to be off on Monday too. So I guess they get paid for that too. So it must be nice. But most of us will not be off Christmas. And even myself, the days that I am off, if I'm not working on fire rescue or the chaplain service or something within law enforcement or with POI, I'm always working with POI. In fact, there's always something going on, and I'm on call 24/7 just like many of you. But I really really hope that each and every one of you will get an opportunity to spend some quality time with family and loved ones, friends, and really be able to relax and enjoy the true meaning of Christmas. Just this morning, a friend of mine on Facebook posted something. It was a take on the many people who don't believe in saying Merry Christmas anymore. It's not politically correct. Many people say Happy Holidays or Happy Seasons or whatever. But Ray Stevens has a song called I Say Merry Christmas. I thought that was quite poignant, and also it really makes sense because Jesus is the reason for the season. I don't want to get too religious here. This is not a religious show, but those of you who know me know that I am a Christian and stand for the true meaning of Christmas. And so I thought that was I reposted it, actually. But if you're not a Christian, whatever you might be, a Jew, a Muslim, or some other sect, or maybe you're not religious at all, I still want to wish you a Merry Christmas and hope that you'll have many blessings on this very special day of the year. All right, I'm done with my sermon today, and I hope that each and every one of you, both members of the POI family and listeners and those who may be here for the first time, have a safe, blessed, and happy Merry Christmas. All right, we got to move on. We got lots to talk about today, and I don't want to take away from this time any longer because my 60 minutes goes by so quick most of the time before I can even conclude the things I want to say. My hour or 2 hours of the program is already up. So let me move on. Most of you know that we had a trip to Nashville. Last week, we had a great opportunity to work with PoliceOne.com, and we did some short training videos in Nashville, and I want to say a big shout-out and thanks to Alliance Training and Testing, Angel Rodriguez, the CEO, along with many of our great chapter members and area supporters, including Mike Thornhill, the chapter president and director of security for Cumberland University. Also, we had a number of helpers. Mr. Seahorn, one of our members, came in and he played a couple of roles and looked like he just got off the biker's path with some biker's club. He fit the part. And also, we had a new member of the chapter who came in. And unfortunately for him, he came in full uniform, and the producers really put him to work. Mr. Troy Parmel, really appreciate all that he did. And there were others that also participated, and we accomplished a lot. And the training are short clips on a number of subjects, which it's kind of a test to see whether or not it's well received on the policeone.com website. And I'm sure that they'll go from there and maybe order some full training segments, and we'll see how that goes. We've also talked about recently, I've signed a deal to write several training manuals and workbooks, and we're in the process of starting on those. And I've also partnered with three different companies in three different areas, and we're going to be telling you more about this next week's program or announcement for 2013. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself as we're very excited. But getting back to Nashville, Nashville was a great trip. Really want to thank everyone involved, and these will be edited and I'm sure available within the next few months, and we'll make those available to you. We'll be announcing next week right after Christmas, the big Christmas holiday, probably a week from today, all of the great things happening in 2013. Now, 2012 was an excellent year. We've accomplished a lot in 2012. We had the first ever memorial ride for the fallen security officers. That was a huge success. Again, we could not have done it without the so many people, so many of our associates, chapter members, association members, and others who really helped us to accomplish this. In 2013, we're going to be telling you more about what we have planned for 2013. It's even bigger and better, and we're really excited about that. So be listening next week when we make the announcements for 2013. But 2012, we accomplished a lot of different things. We were able to reach a lot of media. I sent out a little thing to some of our lifetime members and POI members today, talking a little bit about being interviewed in about 50 media formats over this year. We had a number of major media outlets, including Fox News, CBS New York, CBS Radio, and a number of local newspapers and TVs that called us for our opinion on various things, including the shooting that happened in Newtown. We had several media outlets call us for information, and we appeared on their programs. We also was called several times when security officers were killed in the line of duty. So the word is getting out, and we're accomplishing a lot. And in our talk next week about 2013, I'm going to kind of lay out a plan of how I think this media is going to help the big picture. And each and every one of you can be involved in that, and I've got a plan that will really bring everyone into the participating on getting the word out even more. But 2012 was a great year, and 2013, I just can't wait to see what's going to happen. Also, tonight, or in today's radio show, we're going to talk on a topic that we're calling interfering or helping. Helping or interfering? Interfering or helping? Crossing the line between helping law enforcement and interfering with their job. In recent weeks, several security officers have been arrested for interfering with police. One was just arrested within the last few days on a federal indictment for revealing some federal information unauthorized. We also had a security officer arrested for interfering with police on a traffic stop, traffic violation. And in the last few years, we've had a number of security officers arrested. And I'm going to kind of explain, where the line is, because sometimes it's hard to know. And each situation is different. Each scenario is going to be completely different than the other one. Each officer will handle the situation completely different. So we'll be talking about that coming up. But again, we just want to say we're happy that you're here with us on the WPOI radio. We've got a lot to talk about, and we're coming right back in just a moment. Christmas to all of you from Private Officer International and the Private Officer Beat at WPOI Radio.
You're listening to WPOI Radio, sponsored by Private Officer International. I don't go away because we're coming right back with some more news, information, and free training for you that you're not going to want to miss.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and I got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
All right, we are back with you on the WPOI radio, and this is the Private Officer Beat Show, and again, we have a lot to talk about in a short amount of time. We really have a very important topic. Well, I guess all of the topics that we train on are really important ones, and some are much more urgent than others, and I think this is one of those topics that we're going to talk about here in a few moments that's pretty important and semi-urgent, and you need to understand about helping or interfering with law enforcement and how you can cross the line sometimes without realizing it, but some people do push their luck. We want to remind each and every one of our members that we're always looking for volunteers and people to help us on our committees. We have several openings. One is a brand new legal assistance committee, and this committee will assist with cases where private security officers have been arrested and charged with either shootings, on-duty offenses involving their duty. Most of the time it's going to be for assault or even murder or manslaughter. And basically this committee is going to work with the defense team, and we're going to look at how we can render assistance through statistical data that we've got, information that we have within our organization, possibly use case law and other things to help them. But I will be upfront and honest and frank with you. this is going to be a case-by-case basis. There will be some cases where we just can't help them. We had a legal team call us, I guess it was last week. The security officer shot and killed his wife and child before he went to work, killed them. And the legal team wanted us to somehow use the fact that he was working in a high-crime area as a defense mechanism, as well as the fact that security officers are often injured or killed, and it's a violent world that security officers can often work in. And I just could not be part of that defense. I didn't believe in it. And I talked with my legal team. I talked with some other expert witness friends of mine, and we agreed that this was not something that we really could help them with. And hopefully, you know, we wish them the best. But there will be cases that we will be able to assist. And so we're putting together a committee, a couple of members, two or three members that may have time now and then to look at information that could help the defense legal team to assist a security officer. If you're interested in that or any of the other committees, we're putting together a committee, which will start next year, of our members to look at how we can provide medical benefits to security officers. And we've looked this year at a number of methods. We've looked at shared medical services. We've looked at medical services where a group may put in money each month and then help to pay a member's medical bills when they're seriously injured. We've also looked at a number of health care providers, and they're just too expensive for the amount of our yearly dues, and security officers cannot afford health care. So we're looking at a number of options, but we want to get you, our member, our associate, listeners involved. So if you're interested in either of those committees or some of the other committees that we have, send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We'll be having a conference call coming up in early January to discuss those committees. Also, we're looking for a couple of people who might be interested in being regional instructors. We have a number of regional seminars that we do, and we're going to be doing a lot more in 2013. And if you'd like to participate, you don't have to be a certified instructor. You don't have to be, you know, a big gung-ho type person who's, you know, an excellent marksman or anything like that. You can participate as a class assistant, or you could participate as these members did in Nashville with other tasks that's involved in putting on the seminars. You can also participate by sponsoring a seminar at your workplace or in your area. It doesn't mean that you have to pay for it. You just have to provide a facility, a room. Again, if you need more information, if you'd like to participate, an email to the helpdesk@privateofficer.com will work, and they'll get it to myself or Bill Watkins, the director, Dr. Watkins, actually, the director of our training division, as well as Armour College, and we'll schedule a time to meet or talk with you on the phone. Let me see. We got a lot of business going on. If you're interested in being a adjunct instructor, I believe there's a couple of openings there. Send a resume to Stephanie K, the letter K, at privateofficer.com. And if you can't remember her, just send it to the help desk, and they'll forward it over to Stephanie, who is our operations manager. We have a number of positions open. You can go to our website at www.privateofficer.com and click on the career section. I believe that's listed at the bottom of the front page, and that will get to us. Also, we have a number of other things where members can be involved in. The officer down response team. We're putting together a couple of honor guards. And we have put together a uniform, which we'll be making an announcement on that next week in our big 2013 talk off, where we are going to be talking about all the great things happening in 2013. And we just got a lot going on. We really have a lot going on. And I know that everybody's busy. I know that everyone has a family and things to do, and everybody works, and it just seems like we have no time in the day. And I understand that completely. But on the other hand, I know that everyone has a few hours a month, and that's really all that it takes to be involved. You don't have to be involved 10 hours a day or 50 hours a week. You don't have to feel like you're working another job, just a few hours a month. And basically, as we say all the time, if you'll stay on top of our Facebook page, Twitter feed, if you'll be an active participant on our forums and read our news blog, well, then you're going to be up to date, because we post all of our information on our social media now, as well as our news blog is updated several times a day. And if you are a follower on Twitter, then you're going to be the first to know, because everything that we do is sent out on Twitter now, tweet, 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 tweet. And everything that goes into our news blog automatically is linked into Twitter, so you'll get the first feed of what's happening. And that includes officers being injured, officers killed, breaking news, and so on and so forth. So it's a great place for you to link up and get, the news as it happens. But it's very easy to be part of the POI network. We're on all of the main social medias. We have our own radio shows twice a week. We also have special broadcasts. And if all of that isn't enough to inform, educate, and include you, we have a brand new daily news and information recap that we're going to be sending out starting next month. We'll be telling you more about that next week on our big 2013 radio show, so be listening for that. We have a topic tonight that we're going to be talking about in just a few moments: interfering or helping, crossing the line between what you should do and what you shouldn't do when law enforcement is involved. Very important that you know the difference. Now, next month, for those of you who are involved in our chapters, we have a training that is scheduled, and this is going to be on courtroom testimony, preparation and testimony. It will be a webinar. I understand that everyone can't be at the meeting at the same day, the same time, the same place. So we're probably going to broadcast this several different times, and we will link you into it so that you can participate live and have conversation and understand, again, about your role as a private security agent or officer, a public safety officer, or a private police officer as far as testimony and preparing for the case. And I think it's a good little course. Also, coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to be offering a train the trainer workplace violence instruction. We have an excellent course that we teach on workplace violence, a seminar. It's a one-day seminar. We're going to be offering a four-hour certification to be an instructor. This is a four-part instructor certification, but you'll be able to take it in 4 hours, 2 hours online, and 2 hours in a webinar, and they'll be scheduled separately, and then an exam, and if you pass, then you'll become certified to teach this course and to make money, from it, or do it free. It's an excellent course for churches, for businesses. In fact, I did a brief synopsis on the training that we taped in Nashville for police1.com, but it is a much larger course, and I invite all of you to participate. Now, here's the good news and the bad news. If you are a POI member in good standing, it's $25 to take the certification. The bad news is, if you're not a POI member, or you're not in good standing, it's $49.95, $50. But this $50 is going to be well worth it. It is one of the best workplace violence courses that I've seen, and we've put it together long before the shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. And in fact, we've been using it for about 2 years now. We've added curriculum to it, and it now covers a number of new areas, and I think that you'll really enjoy the course. Right after the first of the year, we'll be sending out more information and a sign-up if you are interested on being an instructor for workplace violence. Now, workplace violence will also include, it will encompass another very prevalent type of violence that we're seeing in workplaces, and that's domestic violence. And domestic violence often bleeds over into workplace violence. In fact, unfortunately, about 2 weeks ago, a TSA security officer was shot and killed as she arrived for work at the Cleveland Hopkins International Airport. And this was, you know, it stemmed from a domestic situation, and we're seeing a number of these cases on a monthly basis. So if you sign up for this course, not only will you receive the workplace violence, but also you'll receive the domestic violence course. And like I said, oftentimes it bleeds into workplace violence. We'll be right back. From all of us to all of you, we wish you a very merry and happy Christmas. Be safe and be blessed.
Slow down.
And move over.
When you see light, best.
Or reflective, please give us some room.
Slow down.
And move over.
We look out for you.
So look out for us.
Please.
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 Slow down.
And move over.
It's the law.
It's the law. It's the law.
Welcome back to Private Officer Beat on the WPOI radio, and we are happy that you are with us. We want to say a very happy birthday to all of those having a birthday this week. We don't have the list, and we're not going to have time to call off the names, but you know who you are. Happy birthday to you. Happy anniversaries if you're having one. But tonight, we want to go quickly over to our training topic, and we want to talk about something that's just really becoming headline news almost, as we see a number of security officers being arrested for interfering, or what police are saying is interference. And we want to talk about crossing the line between helping and interfering with law enforcement. You know, just this past week, a security officer, was indicted on a federal charge for interfering. As private security and public safety officers, college officers, mall security, loss prevention, private police, investigators, there's more of us than there are of law enforcement. That's a fact. So we're everywhere. And seeing private security today in some form or fashion is commonplace, especially in the larger cities and the larger areas where there's more crime and more activity and not enough police to cover it all. There's more security officers on bike patrol and mobile patrol, foot patrol. There's even horse patrol. And recently, I had the opportunity to even go to a boat patrol with a private security company patrolling condominiums on the water. Private security officers, as we have been saying for years, has fast become the first responder, more than likely. They're going to be on the scene of a shooting or a fight or a crime in progress before police if they're patrolling the area or it's happening on their property. A great example is an apartment complex or a shopping mall, which really is nothing more than a city within a city. Because everything that's happening there is happening outside those doors. So oftentimes, private security officers find themselves on the front line before law enforcement arrives, and they can quickly apprehend suspects, start interrogations, secure crime scenes, render first aid, you know, start the report, take down pertinent information, you know, all of that stuff. Probably before law enforcement ever hits the pavement at the scene. And all of that is within the duties of the security officer. All of that is all well and good. It's exactly what you should be doing. And as we discuss this topic today, I don't want you to feel like we're telling you, just don't do anything, just stand there. Because too many security officers already do that. That ain't my job. I call 911, that's all I'm going to do. Sometimes I understand that mentality. Sometimes I really understand that response. But as long as you're doing the things that are part of your duty, as long as you're doing what's required of you, and as long as you're on private property where you're assigned, and those are pretty much key words, then you are well within your authority. And it's all well and good. But we're private officers often get into trouble and often cross the line is after law enforcement arrives. And now, instead of taking a step back, you don't have to be in the shadows and you don't have to leave the scene and you don't have to go hide in the corner. But you need to take a step back, especially if it's a legal investigation, a criminal incident, as a private person, even though you are an agent of the property, you're a private person, and this is now a criminal offense, a criminal investigation. So as a private officer, you must take a step back. A security officer this week was indicted on a federal charge. Evidently, she was working in some type of office complex. She saw several people that she deemed to be suspicious. She followed the suspicious people around in the office building, which, you know, that's her job. That was good. She did exactly what her duties were: to detect, to deter, to investigate. And she did that. And then as the people that she was following began to leave, they noticed that she had come out and taken down their license plate number. Again, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. That is fantastic, because I'm going to check these people out. In fact, had it been me, I probably would have stopped them and ID'd them. What are you doing on the property? Who are you? Do you have any identification? So on and so forth. But this was an older woman, and she probably worked for one of those security companies where it was pretty much observe and report, and that's what she did. She observed. She was going to report, and she took down the information, the license tag, and that's when things went downhill. The people in the vehicle got out and identified themselves as federal investigators. They were following someone suspected of insurance fraud, and they were conducting a federal investigation. Now, at that point, the federal investigators thought that they had to give the security officer the information so that she wouldn't take their license plate number down and cause any more alarm, contact the police, or maybe spook the subject that they were following. So they went ahead and identified themselves as federal investigators and told the security officer what was going on. And then they left. But little did they know that the security officer couldn't keep a secret. And what she did was she turned around and she contacted the subject that was being followed and informed that subject that they had been under surveillance by federal investigators. Well, you know, now that's crossing the line, because the investigators revealed secretive information. They were collecting data for a federal indictment on this suspect. The minute that she divulged that information, she committed a federal offense. It's one thing if the police come in and they ask a few questions and they leave. It's another when authorities come in and they tell you we're conducting a federal investigation on this suspect to charge them with a federal crime. This is top secret. Don't be telling anybody. And you do. That's interfering. That's crossing the line. And so this 66-year-old security officer was indicted on a federal charge this week. Many times, security officers assist law enforcement in a variety of duties on private property, shopping malls, apartment complexes, all types of calls. It might be a noise complaint, it might be a fight in progress, it might be a drug arrest. All sorts of things security officers get involved in. And it's all right. It's okay. It's all good. Until law enforcement tells you, take a step back. Don't get involved here. Or this is an investigation. Don't reveal the information I'm about to tell you. If you work at a shopping mall or an apartment complex or college campus, you're interacting with law enforcement, both the street patrol as well as investigators, on a routine basis. And if you have good cooperation with law enforcement in your community, as I suggest that you do have, they will oftentimes include you on information on wanted suspects, They'll give you BOLO information. I know of security departments who have access to the police radio frequencies, and so they get a copy of the BOLOs as they're transmitted. Other police departments send via email pictures of wanted persons. Even in apartment complexes and residential communities, they will send you an email or an alert that so-and-so apartment 3B is wanted on aggravated assault or rape or drug charge. If you see them, if you see their vehicle, this is what they're driving, call us. And if you have good communication and good interdepartment cooperation, this often goes quite well. But sometimes security officers take it a bit too far. There are certain things you should do and you shouldn't do. Another example of crossing the line, a security officer about a year ago at an apartment complex was arrested after a police officer made a felony traffic stop at the entrance to the apartment complex. The pursuit of the suspect had taken a few blocks, and he eventually pulled into an apartment complex. The security officer got involved. At first, he asked, you know, can I help or do you need backup? Other units soon arrived. He was told to step back. We don't know what we have here. He demanded to know what was happening, why they were stopping the car, why they were on the property, who was involved. The officers told him several times to step back, and finally he was arrested. Now, you have to take it from the officer's perspective for a moment. Here you are stopping a vehicle that you've been in a pursuit with. You don't know who's driving. You don't know why they're leaving the area, why they won't stop. You have to conduct a felony traffic stop on them, guns drawn, everybody at the ready. And now you've got someone else to contend with because they want to know what's going on. It's one thing to ask an officer, can I help? Do you need some help? And they say no. It's another to immediately insert yourself into a situation, causing more alarm for the officers. And so if I'm on that traffic stop and I have a third party, and this has happened numerous times, I'm on a traffic stop and a car pulls up behind you. And they want to know what's going on. I'm with them. I'm their friend. Get back in the car. I'll talk with you in a moment. Well, why are you stopping? Get back in the car. But they're my friend. Get back in the car. Step back. And a security officer should know better. They should know that if it's a situation such as this, they should have good common sense to know to back off and be observant. And if the officer needs assistance, the people come out of the car shooting, or they become irate, or they begin a fight, then if other officers aren't present or they need his assistance, to help the officers. But in this particular case, he asserted himself because he wanted to know all the details, and he wasn't taking no for an answer, and he wasn't going to wait. It was his property. He was the agent of the property, and he was in charge, and police arrested him. And under those circumstances, I would have too. There are times and situations where you can assert yourself when law enforcement is on the property. And then there are times when you have to have common sense and respect and understand that this is possibly a dangerous situation, and I'm going to stand back and let them deal with the criminal activity. But let me give you a couple of other examples here. A while back, we were involved in an apartment complex where there was a noise complaint, and we heard the dispatch go out over the scanner that officers were responding to apartment E10. E10, we knew the residents were older people and that they worked day shift and that they left at 6 in the morning, and this probably was not going to be them, and that we had another apartment that was frequently the subject of many disturbances and fights, and it was below them. It was a different apartment number, but it was in the building E, but they had the wrong apartment number. Right building, wrong number. We responded to the call, and I had one of the officers contact law enforcement and let them know they probably had the wrong apartment number. We were investigating, and we gave them the right number, and law enforcement responded to the location that we gave them, and everything worked out fine. They had the wrong apartment number. We were able to contact the violators and give them a warning, and everything was copacetic and everything worked out. That's a situation where you can insert yourself into the situation and help law enforcement. But there are cases where you just have to use good common sense and not cross the line. Security officer was also arrested recently because he was involved in a traffic stop situation that occurred on public road outside of the property where he was on duty. And again, he asserted himself. It was a routine traffic stop, and he pulled his personal vehicle out of the client's property onto public road and got behind the police car and got out in uniform, and he started walking up toward the passenger side of the vehicle, and the officer said, "Whoa, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to cover you." The officer said, "No, you're not. Get out of here. Get back in your car." He said, "All right, I'm just going to stand over here and make sure everything's good." The officer said, "Hey, out." And eventually, he arrested the security officer. Again, the security officer asserted himself into a situation that he shouldn't have been. First of all, he was off the property where he was contracted to be, leaving that property unsecure. Second of all, he was interfering in a traffic stop, a routine traffic stop at that point, where there was no imminent danger, no signs that the officer was in distress, and he gave alarm to the police officer by now being there, and the officer's attention was now not on the car he pulled over, but instead on the security officer, thereby causing a much more dangerous situation. Now, had the security officer stayed at the entrance of the property and just observed and then ran into the situation if it got heated or there was a fight or whatever, that would have been well and good, fine. It would have been great. But instead, he wanted to be gung-ho and get involved and went to jail. As the agent of a private property where you're assigned, and those are key words, private property where you are assigned. You are the agent of the property, and therefore there are certain things that you can assert yourself into and require of law enforcement at the appropriate time. If they're in the middle of a gunfight, the appropriate time may not be right then. If they're in the middle of a tussle with some drugged out person or intoxicated person demanding a case number, that wouldn't be the proper time. So as the agent of the property, these are the things that you do get. You can ask the officer for the case number, if there's going to be a case number, a report written, and he'll give you a case card with that information. You can ask for the address of the call. Many times police officers will come into an apartment complex or community, a hotel. Never stop and notify the security officer. Never stop at the gatehouse. Never contact security. And they just go to the address that they've been dispatched to and deal with the call. So if you're not sure where that call was or what was happening, you can catch the officer on the way out if you don't respond with him to that call and ask, what was the address? You need it for your report. What was the name of the subjects involved? You need it for your report. The management requires it. You can ask what type of call it was. Was it domestic? Was it a noise? Was it a fight? Was it drug? Was it gang? We need to know, because if there's a problem in that apartment complex, in that particular unit, we need to begin an investigation to see if they have to be evicted. You can ask if there was any property damage. Did you notice any damage to the apartment, to the car? Most officers are going to be willing to give you all that information, and sometimes they'll even write out the report right there, get the case number, and you know, let you copy it if you have that available to you. Again, it all comes with having good relationships with the local police department. And most officers who work a beat routinely are going to get to know you, and you're going to get to know them. And if you're professional and you have a good professional attitude and they know your background, they understand that you're not just there part-time and you have no experience and you're a wannabe and all that other stuff, then they're going to work with you and they're going to cooperate with you, and you're going to be able to have a good inter-department, inter-agency working relationship without crossing the line. Security officers often are told about drug investigations happening in the area, wanted suspects, and so it's important that police officers can trust you, that they understand you, that you understand them. And sometimes they can't tell you certain things at that particular time. Sometimes they can't tell you that Vice is investigating apartment H3. Sometimes they can't be too forthcoming because, again, you're a civilian. You're not a law enforcement officer. And even though it's private property, you don't have the right to know all the particulars on a criminal investigation. But the information I just gave you, the things that you do have a right to have, are pretty commonplace, and any police officer anywhere will be more than willing to give you that information. Again, it all boils down to your working relationship with the officers on the beat. It's important to understand when to assert yourself and when to ask questions. It's important to understand when that officer really needs help and when he doesn't. Recently, one of our members in Delaware was involved in a shoplifting situation, apprehending and arresting a shoplifter, and an off-duty FBI agent got involved and asserted herself in the apprehension of the suspect and was injured. Without knowing the security agent, she automatically got involved. Again, that was just something that any officer probably would do. But you have to know when and when not to, when to get involved, and when's a good time to ask questions and when it isn't. There is a line, helping or interfering, and you can be charged with interference or interfering with a police officer if you don't step back when they ask you to. It's not because they're trying to outdo you or outgun you, outsmart you. They're not trying to be rude. They're taking care of business, and it's an officer safety issue. They need to know who's backing them up. And, you know, unfortunately, they don't have your credentials. They don't have your resume. They don't know who you are, even though there's a lot of qualified security officers, a lot of prior law enforcement officers who are now in private security. They don't know that. They don't know who you are. They can't see that in your uniform. So help them when you can and step back when they ask you to, because there is a difference between helping and interfering. And we certainly don't want to see any private officers arrested for trying to help police or EMS or fire or anyone else. If they tell you that this is secretive information that we're investigating, don't tell other people. That's all for today. Thank you for joining the WPOI Radio Private Officer Beat. Again, Merry Christmas, God bless, and we'll see you back here on the radio in about a week. Everyone. Kins.